congregation please rise in our entrance hymn to hymn number 302, Adam Gladness Minimal, hymn 302. Following in the front of the hymn.
The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Yesterday was the Epiphany of our Lord Day. And if I was a meanwhile pastor, you would have all been in church yesterday morning to celebrate Epiphany. The three wise men, the season of light. We still have the lights up from Christmas, which is a great thing. Today we are celebrating also the baptism of our Lord, which is the first Sunday after the Epiphany, which is the next day this year. Our hymn of praise for this whole month and for the whole season of Epiphany will be hymn number 310. We sing verses 1 and 2 only at this time as our hymn of praise. Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, hymn number 310, verses 1 and 2.
Good morning. Our first reading is Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 29, and if you'll please read the dark print. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders. The Lord is on the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf.
And Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness at a pitch.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl.
And strips the forest bare. And in the Lord's temple all say, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to the people.
May the Lord bless the people with peace.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is Acts 19, 1 through 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the inland regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole, all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Thank you for being out on this wintry morning. I'm Bishop Megan Manlove. I will say more about our synod during coffee hour, but I've been in this position since July and needed a place to be this weekend, and we have a spreadsheet now as a synod staff where we look back over where we've been, and nobody from the synod staff's been at St. John's for a while, so not knowing what the weather was going to be, I came early, and yesterday I was at Good Shepherd in Pocatello for an ecumenical epiphany service, and I got to meet with our local presbyter in the afternoon, which was wonderful to keep building that relationship. And tomorrow, hopefully, I'll get to meet and have lunch with all of our roster leaders from the Upper Snake River Cluster. So turned into a full weekend and hopefully safe driving home tomorrow. Our geography, if you don't know, stretches from Leavenworth and Goldendale to Jackson. So it's one of the larger synods in the ELCA with no hub airport. So yesterday was Epiphany, as Pastor Beek mentioned, the day the church celebrates the Magi's bringing gifts to the infant Jesus. That day serves as a bridge of sorts between the short Christmas season and the time after Epiphany, a season of manifestations of who Jesus is. Today, we who follow the three-year cycle of scripture passages find ourselves back in Mark's gospel. There's no prelude in this gospel where you will read about shepherds or angels, magi or a star or stable. There's not a word about Mary and Joseph. Mark's story of Jesus begins at the river. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. We do not even hear the cosmic wonder that opens John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mark is far more ordinary and direct. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus entered the river with others to be washed in a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Does it seem strange that Jesus submits to a baptism of repentance? It's okay if you wonder about that. Just remember, this is where Jesus will spend his earthly life. In the midst of sinners, eating with them, talking with them, healing them, calling them. Why should his baptism be any different? Jesus went under the waters of the Jordan as the others had, under the waters his ancestors crossed after 40 years of wilderness wandering, historic waters, even though they look quite ordinary. Did Jesus look up at the sky before he went under the water? The narrator doesn't say. But we do read that when Jesus came up out of the water, wet from the Jordan, he did look up, and he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. There's no indication that others saw this, only Jesus. He saw the heavens torn apart. The Greek word there is a form of the word schizo, as in schism or schizophrenia. It is not the same word as open. I open a door, and it looks the same. But something torn apart is not easily closed again. Picture in your mind's eye the ragged edges that will never go back together as they were. The use of schizo is deliberate. It recalls the prophet Isaiah's plea centuries before when he cried out to God, "Oh, that you would tear the heaven and come down to make your name known to our enemies and make the nations tremble at your presence." Now Jesus stood in the Jordan, dripping wet, without a hint that anyone else saw the heavens torn apart or saw the dove or heard the voice. We have no indication that the nations were trembling. But that did not mean that nothing had changed. Though we usually imagine God speaking in a booming voice, resonant and deep, that voice is more often heard in movies than in scripture. God's voice can be a whisper, a breath, quiet as the still small voice that reached Elijah hiding in his cave. At the Jordan River, the voice that came from heaven spoke to Jesus alone. I like to imagine that it was intimate and direct. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. In you my spirit will be present on earth in a new way." The heavens were torn apart, but they would never be closed again in that way. Sometimes that's how I feel about the world right now. When I was in high school, the Berlin Wall came down. The Cold War that shaped so much of my youth seemed to be ending. I didn't understand it all on the news, but I heard about real peace talks in the Middle East, how far away that feels now. I do remember watching the film of Rodney King being beaten, but there still seemed to be so much progress in race relations in our country. National and state politics consisted of a two-party system, to be sure, but there were regular stories about compromise. All of that feels torn apart to me, and I can't see how we're going to piece things back together sometimes. And yet I know that the torn place is where God comes through, the place that never again closes as neatly as before. One pastor reminds us that from the day he saw the heavens torn apart, Jesus began tearing apart the images of who people thought the Messiah was supposed to be. tearing apart the social fabric that separated rich from poor, breaking through hardness of heart to bring forth compassion, breaking through rituals that had grown rigid or routine, tearing apart the chains that bound some in the demon's power, tearing apart the notions of what it meant to be God's beloved son. Nothing would ever be the same, for the heavens would never again close so tightly. At the end of his life, Jesus hung on a cross between heaven and earth. When he breathed his last, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, torn apart as the heavens had been torn apart. The Holy of Holies no longer separated the sanctuary from the people. That curtain could never be repaired either. There was no voice from the darkened heavens that day. God was silent, not even a whisper. But there was a voice, not far off, but close. A centurion soldier stood at the foot of the cross, keeping order, marking time, waiting to pronounce death. And when he saw that Jesus had breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Who gave him that word? We are never told. That soldier had somehow heard for himself the words whispered to Jesus alone at the Jordan. The words came through the torn place in the sky, through the torn curtain. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Is there a torn place in your life? A relationship that ended? An addiction finally confronted? The loss of a job? A lifelong dream that shifted? Or maybe it's watching American Falls, the community, change as growth continues. New jobs, but also new people, and a crunch when it comes to housing. Whatever life looks like going forward, it may be more like a true crazy quilt, or it may be full of patches. Beautiful sometimes, but not what it was before it was torn apart. Jesus stepped into all of this when he was baptized, an act of true solidarity with the rest of the community, with all of humanity, with you and with me. What a gift, what good news for each of us who is called child of God. The same spirit that entered him entered each of us in our baptisms. Not the entrance to a special club, but inauguration to abundant life. This abundant life is not without pain or brokenness. If we're honest, if we truly follow Jesus, there will be, in fact, difficulties. But it is a life with hope and companionship and with a God who loves us. And God continues to enter into the torn places and moments. It truly is God's method of operation. You are my own beloved child. You likely have had or have now a torn place, but God is in it. The same is true for your neighbor and for me, for this community of faith, for the larger Upper Snake River Valley. Even as we leave the season of Christmas, we remember that Jesus remains Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Our hymn of the day is "Bright and Glorious is the Sky," 301 in your ELW. Please stand as you are able.
to remain standing for the Apostles' Creed and the prayers of the church. The Apostles' Creed is found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, in the prayers of the church, we remember in our prayers our bishops, Reverend Elizabeth Eaton and Reverend Megan Manlove, whom you've now seen, manifested. Yes, that's a good thing. We also pray this whole month of January for the Rising Stars Therapeutic Writing Center in Twin Falls, Idaho. We pray for the staff, the horses, and the writers. And so appropriate, Epiphany, Rising Stars. You know, light. It's just, I blame Edith Kopp for that. It's wonderful. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the wars in Ukraine and Russia, Sudan, Gaza, and Israel. We pray for all people who have lost property and life in our nation and around the world in the past weeks during the holidays. And then due to death and burial, remember in our prayers Iris Marie Tuttle Sims, who died on Christmas Eve, but was buried this last Wednesday here in this place. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Our light and life, our hope and expectation, we celebrate your coming into the world. Not only through the baby in a manger, but through the Holy Spirit daily in our lives. Send us forth, your faithful people, with words of promise, forgiveness, grace, and peace, so that we may live into the promises of baptism in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and let your light shine. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Renew your creation, God of thunder and mighty waters, restore the earth in which your children are baptized. May fields flourish, rivers flow clean and pure. May the heavens shine brightly with your light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and let your light shine. Sovereign God, through the peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Let the nations tremble at your holy presence. That justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, love, and hope to one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for all those in need. Protect and cherish the most vulnerable among us. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and minds. Be Emmanuel, God with us, to those who look to you for hope and healing. Be with those who are depressed, grieving, lonely, or isolated. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment, and give compassionate heart to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and let your light shine. Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all the ministries we are faithfully a part of. In this new year, we give you thanks for all the gifts and resources you provide for us to minister to one another. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope.
give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially this day we lift up Iris and those whom we name in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, this morning. Today in the church year is the feast day of the baptism of our Lord, the first Sunday after Epiphany. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting with us here today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio broadcast or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Elias Size. Happy birthday this week to Mark Beebe, Nancy Glarborg, Daniel Lute, Edith Kopp, Rebecca Gallegos, Gabriel Christian, Corbin Crest. We rejoice in welcoming today Reverend Megan Manlove, Bishop of our own Northwestern Intermountain Synod. We thank Bishop Manlove for sharing with us the gospel, the good news today. You're all welcome to and invited to stay following worship for coffee hour and fellowship. Come on out and visit with Bishop Manlove, the new Bishop of our Synod. We'll see you all there. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones found there? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I then invite the communion sisters and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion. Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving, which are first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise from the great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places
give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus the Christ, by the leading of the star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he reveals your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
blessing is supposed to be in the canticle found on hymn number 208, with the blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strike you and keep you in his grace. Amen. She's got a presentation too. That's why the sermon went so short. We got 10 minutes presentation at coffee hour, so yeah, there you go. Okay? Our final hymn is hymn number Brightest and Best Are the Stars of the Morning, hymn number 303. We sing this as our Epiphany hymn.